Forced as all this is going on.
Every court proceeding now is.
Yeah.
Good evening, everyone. In compliance with the Open Public Meetings Act, this is a regular meeting of the Township Committee. The meeting notice was posted on the Township website, distributed to the Hunterdon Review, Courier News, the Express Times, the Hunterdon County Democrat, and the Star Ledger. It is October 5th, 2022. After the flag salute, we'll observe a moment of silence to honor our first responders, our servicemen and women, and the people of Ukraine. Would you please rise for the flag salute?
Pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. First up, we have presentation of minutes from the executive session meeting on August 10th, 2022. Has the committee had a chance to review? We don't take discussion on the executive session minutes, so if everyone is comfortable, would there be a motion to approve?
I'll make that motion to approve the minutes of the special executive session August 10th, 2022.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Public comment limited to agenda items only. Is there a motion to open?
So made.
Second.
Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, if anyone has a comment on the agenda items, you could come forward to make it. As always, there's a second public comment at the end of the meeting. Seeing no one coming forward, is there a motion to close the public comment on agenda items?
I'll make the motion to close public comment on agenda items only.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So the first business item then is Resolution 90-2022, resolution awarding a contract for rock salt. Fasten your seatbelts, everyone, for the 2022-2023 season. The price for rock salt through the Hunterdon County Co-op, I believe. The County Co-op Members Cooperative Pricing System for Ice Control Materials, bid number 2022-14, is $72.84. 1 year ago, that was $48. So we're up a little over 50% in the cost of rock salt. Any discussion by the committee?
Gotta keep the roads open.
Is there a motion to approve Resolution 90-2022?
Is there any way around that? Is there any, we have to be, we're in the co-op, right? We have to.
You're not going to get a better price.
You're not going to get a better price. Amount. Okay, that's what I wanted to hear.
Is there any alternative to rock salt?
That's
not as expensive? I mean, I'm just throwing that out there.
Not that I've heard of.
What's that? How about people with brooms? We can hire a crew, right?
The only question I have is, it's anticipating a purchase of 2,000 tons. If we don't use the 2,000 tons, we're not obligated to the 2,000? Because we had an issue once before.
Yeah, that issue, that's my understanding that Warren is now. Okay. It's clearly said anticipated, and somehow that issue that we had a couple years ago has been resolved.
What was the issue a couple years ago? They wouldn't take it
There was litigation throughout this area regarding it. There's a drop in the market, and people went elsewhere. And there was litigation whether or not you're not required to purchase. There was a legal issue as to whether you can purchase alternatively after contracting.
Any other discussion or motion for Resolution 90-2022?
Make a motion we approve Resolution 90-2022.
Second.
Any further discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. Takes us to unfinished business. First unfinished business is a blue light application. Do you want to?
The background check's been approved. So that's really the only thing that's on the township with these blue light. I didn't realize that. It's on the actual driver license of the individual who has the blue light. Once we do our background check and the fire department puts in the request, the background check is done by our police department. And if a clean bill of health on the driving record comes back, it then is passed on to the individual, who also is the one who returns it if he's no longer in good standings with the volunteer fire department. So as long as all those individual checks and balances have been taken care of, I see no problem with this.
Just to add to that, and for the residents, this is a blue light for a volunteer firefighter. You may see when they get called for a fire, they'll have the blue lights on. It does not give them the right to violate any motor vehicle laws. It's really just a courtesy request, as the police chief indicated to me. So if, for example, two people end up at a stoplight at the same time, let the people with the blue light go, but they don't get the right to go. But
they have to obey all laws, just as any other motor vehicle does.
Yep. So this is an application for a blue light permit for Joseph Fulham, recent member addition to our volunteer fire department. Is there a motion to authorize, or any further discussion of the motion would be to authorize the mayor to sign the blue light application, blue light permit?
So moved.
I'll second.
There's no other discussion. Roll call.
Yes.
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 Yes. Okay. Next, I put on the agenda year-end priorities. With all of the things that have been going on, a few things have fallen off the agenda, and I wanted to discuss where we now have five meetings after this, just less than 90 days. One item that had rolled over from last year, we had developed at the end of the year a sign ordinance for political signage purposes. We haven't found a window when we weren't in the primary election cycle, the current general election cycle, so I wanted to ask the committee if we should dust off what we had last year, get it on the agenda probably right after the election to see if we can get that passed before the end of the year.
We never passed that?
No.
Wow.
I say, we got up against the election. And and everybody should know the sign ordinances are not being enforced this year because the current sign ordinance in our ordinance is the advice is it's unconstitutional. It places a 30-day limit ahead of the election, and the courts have ruled that people have a right to petition to have free speech regardless of the calendar date. And a few other things that...
But that's on private property.
Correct, yeah. We had two issues we dealt with,
yeah.
and we discussed there's been significant litigation driven by the ACLU regarding the increased political speech being exercised throughout the year and the issues that presents, and also the willingness of outside organizations to litigate it all the way up as high as they have to take it regardless of cost. Mm-hmm. So... that's where we quote unquote left it.
Mm-hmm. So late last summer, a different committee, some of us were on that. We debated and drafted out language for both to address the unconstitutional issue and to address by ordinance the policy.
Didn't we talk about township property?
That's what we did.
Yeah.
Putting signs on township property. So we drafted language that's not in any current ordinance. So then it happened late summer. Then we're getting close to the general election. The thought was not to impose new rules in the middle of an election. Then by the time we debated a little bit more, for everyone's knowledge, one committee can't introduce, then you need time. Once you cross January, the next committee can't adopt an ordinance that was introduced before January 1st. So we've lost these couple of windows.
Mm-hmm.
So the question is, do we want to take advantage of that window right after this election?
Well, was there any other items that you're thinking about?
There's that. Again, we obviously recirculate. I just want to give everybody time to think about, for example, the sign ordinance, to look at what we did last year before we bring it up. The noise ordinance, which we talked about, the question there, the next step was to ask the county to come and give us a information session on their policies. I wanted to ask if we should schedule that for one of the next remaining meetings in this year.
Not that it would happen here, but have you seen what's happening in Cape May, was it? With the car rally and boom boxes and across the river in Philadelphia and Camden. It made me think about the noise ordinance. And, you know, a mob situation where it's a, what do they call it? Not a flash mob, but, you know, people advertise it and they all show up at the same place at the same time. And it's a big police hassle, too.
Yeah.
But I'm wondering about the noise with the, we don't have it here. I'm just saying it just came to my mind that it could be something.
We don't have what here?
We don't have a problem right now with people opening up the backs of their cars.
Not with backs of cars.
Huge systems, but it could happen, and I mean, you might want to not react, you might want to proact. That's what I'm saying.
And residents should know, we have had several cases over the past 18 months of the so-called Airbnb party house situations where we've had, you know, 400 people show up at a big house in town that's been rented out for a party night. So the police have been monitoring that. We've been working through those situations. So they hit us, but not from a noise perspective.
Right.
Were you saying they heard the noise in Philadelphia from Cape May?
They were no. That's two separate incidents.
Okay.
There was a
because that's quite an expanse.
No. Is that if you've heard about Cape May and what's happening, if you're reading the newspaper, you'll see what's going on.
People
in
died.
Philadelphia,
people actually died.
Well, that was the car rally thing. Yeah. Philadelphia along the waterfront, they're playing music and on the boats and everything so loud that the people in Camden can't get to sleep at night because it's coming across the river and there's nothing that they can do about it. That's the thing. There aren't any ordinances. I'm just saying it's not happening here, but you don't want to wait for it to happen here and then have to wait 8 weeks to do something about it.
Mm-hmm. I don't think we're going to get anything like Yazger's Farm.
Never know.
I hope not.
Should I check the county's availability to?
I would still like to, even if we don't do it, I'd like to hear what, because you have neighbors that have situations going on too, and I think it's good just to hear what they have to say and how, because what we were handed was really scientific. I think they need to explain to us how they came about and how it would apply to us and what we have control over versus what the state has control over or what the county has control over.
And didn't they say, the health department person, that basically it applied to industrial zones?
That
bordered residential zones?
That's, I think, why we need to get the experts in to explain that to us.
Mm-hmm. There's difficulty enforcing that. That's something we should talk about.
Going to your question, Tom, those would be the two ordinance potential, whether we can get educated and do the noise ordinance this year or not. I don't know.
What's that?
So going back to the sign ordinance, that would be the one ordinance that we could tee up to debate, introduce, and adopt. Noise ordinance depends on how soon we can get the county here and what that timing would are the two ordinance items. There's a few other non-ordinance items, but just to focus on those.
To talk about it, correct? To talk about the possibility of that. We may decide we don't need a noise ordinance.
Oh, yeah, exactly. For the noise ordinance, it's to invite the county experts in to educate us and the public, which is what we discussed last time we discussed the noise ordinance.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but we do have somewhat of a noise ordinance on the books right now, or a nuisance, with noise being under a nuisance ordinance. And it refers to the state statute if there's a complaint. And I'm just not clear on the state statute. They would have to send professionals out, or we would have to?
We would have to. You stated it correctly. We do. It's under the nuisance section. It's on the books. It's been on there for years. The requirement is for the township to secure an acoustical engineer for that complaint, which, you know, it's, as Guy said, it's an enforcement problem. It's a hit or miss. You can't get people to agree to a certain time that they're going to have the noise and where we can schedule what's obviously going to be a costly professional to retain.
And the reverse, if it's through the county, this is done through the county? It's not.
That's why I think we should invite them in.
Yeah, that was the conversation we were going to have with them.
Right.
That's kind of where we left it.
So we would cede jurisdiction to them? Is that the possibility if the county?
We would cede enforcement to them.
Okay.
I think would be more accurate to say we would hold jurisdiction as to the content of the ordinance within, I mean, obviously it's going to be within an acceptable template to the county.
To the state, even.
Yeah, and to the state.
To the state.
But we would be able to utilize outside resource, other government resources to for enforcement purposes, as opposed to as it's currently written, where it falls completely on us.
So they'd still be able to, a private person would still be able to pursue a problem with noise, even if we adopted a noise ordinance, and correct? Still a private party could file a municipal complaint.
Under the current one or under what we're considering?
I think in terms of disturbing peace, that would be a situation that would be considered.
Yeah, that would be an issue of proofs, but yes.
So it wouldn't preclude that if we got the county involved?
Would not.
Okay.
Now, you're not, this is going on, we're done with that topic. Ordinances, you're talking about anything end of year?
Yep.
Website?
Exactly. Website,
yeah.
I wanted to bring up.
Yes.
Memorial policy.
Mm-hmm.
The hydroponic regulation ordinance, which I think is going to take longer than I don't see that. That's on our agenda to do. I don't see it getting the engineering and all the input.
Yeah, and I don't.
With enough time for December 30th.
Yeah, and the memorial policy, I finally got all the comments in from the groups, and I can do that. I put it on back burner because we had higher priorities going on here. So I can pick that up, but I don't think that has to actually be done. It's not like it has to be done by the end of the year if there are other priorities we need to get through. So
I'm wondering if we shouldn't just decide to finish what's on our plate right now before we move forward with other things. That seems to be a lot that's up in the air in this township right now, and maybe it would be just wise to clean up what we have out there right now before we move into anything else. Just my thoughts. You know, we do have the ordinance that's going to be upon the planning board, then it will be here.
Yeah.
We have an outstanding situation at the administrative level. I'm not so sure if we should fill our plate.
Is the website issue involve any procurement or any bidding or anything or any outside? Okay.
Yeah.
Because that's that's just another issue as to lead time, so to speak.
Mm-hmm.
Just maybe
I'm not familiar with what we're trying to do.
We're trying to assess our IT needs right now, evaluate and break it down into manageable pieces, and a lot of the pieces will involve. We may need to go into executive session. We may even need a special meeting to bring people in to explain it because it's a public safety issue. We can't divulge where we have weaknesses.
No, of course not.
So then you've got that I have to work on, and then also you've got the public pieces that we can talk about. But the number one priority right now by the end of the year is the website because, you know.
Our webmaster submitted.
In writing. She's leaving.
Yeah, and there's, like everything else, there's now an increase in attacks.
Mm-hmm.
On municipalities, even small ones, mm-hmm. because of the information we hold and the ransom, the locking down and the ransoming, it's here. It's no longer a threat. It's actually happening in New Jersey.
Right.
So I don't disagree, you know, leave it as whatever the group decides, just pointing out that, as you said, it's a long process.
Mm-hmm.
It's not an A or B process. It's not pick one of the two.
It's got a lot of moving piece parts on
right.
it. And the other thing, too, is I did talk to Tara. I don't know if she mentioned it to you. We can use, it looks like we can use the CARES funds, the American Rescue Act. I talked to Greg. He said that he doesn't think they expire. So it's a significant amount of money. So and this isn't going to be that significant like the funds that we received. So it's a good place. But the first thing we're going to have to do is get approval to go to GoDaddy, you know, and for the website. But it's going to be an easy transition. Yeah, I've met with the ESC, and it'll be an easy transition.
Okay. Great.
And it'll be a good product. It'll be good. Because even our previous webmaster said, or prior our existing webmaster who's going to be leaving, that we basically had bare bones, and you really can – you know, protect yourself, do a little bit more with getting what you need without going into too much detail.
Have we had any evidence of attempted attacks on our system?
Well, I don't know.
The normal phishing stuff happens all the time.
Well, I can tell you one thing, our emails, look what's going on with our emails. We get some kind of an email comes through, a priority email, it ends up in a junk folder. It ends up in a deleted folder. somebody can't find something. It's a crazy system we have. That's just the email. That's nothing about the firewalls and the servers and everything else. And I'm not a technical person, but I'm learning really
quickly.
That makes
two of us.
Yeah, neither am I.
Project manager, but I'm leaving it to the experts.
And like I said, I don't have any. I can't even speak to what we're facing. The insurers that insure all the towns in the state are all on this. It's a priority across the state because we're low hanging fruit. We're a target, and small towns also. It used to be big cities, but now as Bev said, we're not going to talk about our weaknesses, but their towns that haven't invested in it have vulnerabilities, additional vulnerabilities.
Yeah, it's a real eye opener once they start looking at things and telling you what they're finding. So that's my big thing.
So website IT is up.
The website piece. Yeah, the rest is going to come. Sure, we'll probably carry over, and it depends. I think what I'm going to do for the next meeting that we have here, I really need to put something together for you to approve the $5,995 that we need for the website piece. And again, if I can get you being into financial with Greg, the approval for sure that we can use the ARPA, I think that's what they call American Rescue Plan,
the ARP
funds. It's sitting there. It's anything that has to do with security upgrades, cameras, any of that stuff. We're taking it in pieces, and how much, and I'm telling you to do this is build it middle of the road. Don't be giving us the luxury plan. Don't be giving us the crappy plan. Give us what we need to be where we need to be.
At the next meeting or an executive session, if it's related to security, you'll be able to explain?
Next session will be public because it's website.
But you'll be able to explain what
the
you're looking
at. Yeah, we're going to only focus on the one thing. And then as we go along, we'll give it to you in doses in the right venue, whether it's executive or not. But I do think there are some points where we might have to have the police chief come in with the two from the ESC to explain certain sections in executive session so that everybody's on board and there aren't a million questions. They can just make it like a workshop executive session. So,
okay. So clearly website IT, I've heard conflicting whether we should ask the county to come in to explain the noise situation. Tom, did you think we shouldn't do that? Or we should bring the county in to explain the noise ordinance? I've heard both.
What's that?
I'm hearing both say not because we have too much, and I'm hearing some say yes, bring them in.
Hmm?
I'm just looking for the consensus.
So we'll bring the county in, and that'll be like a learning session for everyone.
Yep. Okay. And again, I have no idea what their schedule is, but we'll reach out tomorrow to see that. Okay.
And if something happens where we have to bump it for something the higher priority, we bump it between now and the end of the year.
Sign ordinance, do we want to circulate that around? It won't be on next meeting, so we can circulate it, see how we're looking early November.
Well, and does it make sense if there is a change in committee? Didn't you say that
last year we get into the primary session the season early enough. Mm-hmm. People are filing for the primary late January. That's why we didn't do it early this year.
But if
to me, this end of year is the window to do it.
But if we get into a situation where we start it and then the committee changes, did you say
we'd have to reintroduce
it. So hopefully the new committee would like what the old committee did.
Or they can change it.
Or they could change it. So it makes me wonder, do we do it or not right now? Do we hold off?
I'm saying if we don't do it now, it could be a year before we do it again.
Or it could not be.
No, I'd say it's likely to be. My point is, if you look at the calendar, what happened this year, candidates are filing in January already for the primary next year. Do we want to change the political advertising after people have...
Aren't they filing in April?
Aren't they pulling the petition in January even? And then it's
they're
due March 30th?
They're getting it and running around with it, but they're not...
That's what people are...
But they're not...
Theoretically.
Yeah.
There is a window after the 1st.
There is a short window after.
Almost the window that you have here.
Yes.
It's like 4 months.
Yes.
It's like 4 months.
I'd like to see us put that off to the back burner.
Because they can't
is that,
even put...
Is there agreement, sign ordinance, we won't bring back now?
Right, right.
Okay. That's
so we have an unenforceable sign ordinance right now?
Yes.
Okay.
There's no... For political sign... I mean, there's a broader sign ordinance for advertising and other signs.
Commercial speech.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. All of that is enforced... It's political signage that's not in.
Yeah, political signage, except for what's on private property anyway, and the sizes of what you can restrict it to, possibly. Nobody's going to be putting their signs up in April on public property, so I just think that it's, we should wait.
Okay. Okay, that's any other year-end priorities that people want to bring up? I had nothing else on my list. Okay.
There was an issue with our drinking water ordinance having to do with the transfer of real property, where the only thing we care about is nitrates and no bacteria, which is interesting because the public well test tests all those chemicals, iron, et cetera, and so forth. Theoretically, somebody could get a certificate of occupancy to transfer their property if it has a hazardous chemical in it. Now, the person buying that property would be not the brightest bulb in the set to do that because they're going to have drinking water with the contaminant in it. But at this point, all we require is no bacteria and nitrates below 10. Now, we might want to take a look at that because I can see a situation down the road where we issue a drinking water certificate as part of the CO requirement in the township. And if it has a hazardous chemical in it, the people buy the property anyway. I could see a scenario where they could sue the township. And perhaps we ought to deal with that.
Do you want to take the lead on?
I believe that's a Board of Health
ordinance. I do, too.
Is it not?
Would it come?
That would be a Board of Health.
I think that discussion should start there.
At the Board of Health, I would agree with you.
I believe so.
I haven't looked. This is the first
yes,
time.
Yes, because you had a situation recently where somebody wanted to buy property without getting a drinking water certificate. In fact, that property ended up being bought by the township.
I believe the Board of Health has the ability to adopt
to do that.
An ordinance, though.
Separate.
Right. Is that correct, Matt?
But we sit as the Board of
Health. I had to confirm that, but I believe that's where it would originate.
Right, but we sit as the Board of Health.
But if right. Yeah, if the Board of Health or the Township Committee comes to a consensus where we're going, what mm-hmm. the content is, Karen and I will work to make sure the process that it lands in the right process. But as far as exactly what you're shooting for, we're going to need the bodies to dictate that.
Most people are under the impression the private well test, you have to meet all those parameters. That's not true. Those are informatory only. It was set up so the DEP could get a database on wells within the state. So, again, it's just bacteria and nitrates below 10. I think we recently had one where the nitrates were above 10, and I'm not sure how that was dealt with. Kim would know. She's the one that issues those certificates. Drinking water certificates as part of the CO.
So you'll take that up?
Yes.
Okay. Very good.
All right. Karen and I will work on proper process, and Mr. Wilson's going to work on the content, the parameters, the levels.
Perfect.
I don't know. This isn't really a priority. You could decide. About a year and a couple of months ago, we had a template for because the police headquarters sign is falling apart. And we never really got anywhere else with that. So I don't know if you want to wait on that till after the first of the year. Or
I think Mark was working on the police sign. And
yeah,
he's not here, so I wouldn't.
Yeah. So
I don't know where that stands. But
okay. It's just something.
Not here. Yeah, no. Police sign. I wanted to follow up on a discussion from last week. This is now, we're done with the end of year priorities. Last week, Bev, you brought up election communication. You educated us on discussions you had with the election commission in Trenton,
mm-hmm.
and both you and Tom were very clear that the clerk should approve anything that looks like it could be election communication. I had a number of people ask me 3 days later about the committee woman Bev Kohler banner hanging on the township pavilion.
I wasn't an election sign. I was a donor. I was a platinum sponsor. I gave them $1,000.
Understood.
So that's not.
But it was hanging on township property. So
yeah, but it's not an election item. So what does that have to do with anything?
I would.
Okay, so
they're talking government publications. They didn't say anything. If you look.
No, I'm going broader than publications.
Yeah, well,
obviously.
They don't go broader than publications. A government publication, and also, I didn't say that Karen should review things for that specific purpose. I said she should review the newsletter in general.
I took it to be that we should have candidate publication reviewed
and approved. I just don't know what our policy is for putting campaigns in township events.
That's not a campaign. That's a sponsorship opportunity. I could have put Brian and Bev. I didn't.
Well, you could have put Beverly Kohler.
I did.
At least this time you would hope they'd spell your name correctly because they put an extra E in it.
She was a sponsor no different than the other person who had a sponsor flag up there.
Well, I disagree. To say no different, I mean, she's running for the election, so...
Show me the statute or the law.
I'm not saying it's illegal. I'm just trying to preempt a policy discussion.
Okay, so let me ask you this. So Sharon Petzinger had a button on that was actually a campaign item in the park serving beer.
Yeah.
So what's the difference? Did I complain about that? No.
It wasn't hanging on township property.
It's in township property.
And it wasn't representing herself as a township person. I mean, if it had said, I think there would be a difference if it said Beverly Kohler, and then we're celebrating Beverly Kohler.
Well, that's your thoughts. So there's no law that says I couldn't do what I did.
I'm not saying there is.
Wait a minute. I checked with the ELAC commission about that. Okay, and they gave me what I just described as a contradictory answer. They wouldn't answer it because I brought up the other situation.
Who'd you talk to?
Whoever is responsible for Huntington County.
You didn't get her name?
It was he. So you get a different person each time you call down there. Yeah. That's typical of the state.
Well, if you look at the book, if you look at the guidelines, which are actually within the New Jersey statutes, it talks about political contributions in government publications. I don't see anything about political signs. There's nothing else there. So you know, until you can show me that that's
I'm not claiming anything was done illegal. I'm not saying any fines should be imposed. I'm just asking to preempt policy. So, for example, in the last newsletter, if a candidate, or in the coming year of the newsletter, if a candidate wants to take out a full-page ad and pay the advertising rate in the newsletter, do we take advertisements in the newsletter?
No, because when I was naive, I asked that question when I first ran, and they were absolutely not. I said, I just don't want to be left out if somebody else is doing it. No, they don't do that.
But we're allowed to take full-page ads, or we're allowed to hang banners in the pavilion, but not advertise in the newsletter.
What if there was a wedding? What if there was a wedding there and somebody held a banner
Let's stick with my question
first. I'm sticking with the devil's in the details. That was a 501c3 run event. That was not the park committee running that event. It's on township property, but it's a 501c3 that was running the event.
That wasn't a joint
It's Friends of Memorial Park. If you look at all of... And actually, I went in the original ad that they, because it came with an ad, my donation came with a sign and an ad. I didn't ask for it.
Right.
So what it said...
And I know that they don't accept anonymous or to withdraw. They do when I donate.
I don't know.
I never
so
have my name.
So what happened is I actually put, you know, thank you to the park committee, and then I realized, oh, that's probably not right. And they said, no, it's false. It's the Friends of Memorial Park, which is... 501c3, which also comes to the fact that I understood that there were some complaints possibly about Save Lebanon Township's booth being there. But what if they were at a wedding? What if they, you know what I mean? It's township property, but you can't control who's renting that space or who, if it's not a township-sponsored event. You know, the fire department, we had a booth there. The county GOP had a booth there. So, yeah, it's the little, if you want to put an ordinance together, that's fine. But until then.
Aren't we going to talk about signs down the road after the first year? Wouldn't this be a discussion held at that point?
Okay, I was following up on
it.
I would have, I had less of a problem with it if it just said Beverly Kohler.
Well, I don't care if you have a problem with it.
No, it's just Beverly Kohler. That's fine. You donated money. That's fine.
Yeah.
You didn't have to put committee men in there.
I didn't put committee men.
That's what it said.
It said councilwoman.
Yeah, well, that was wrong, too.
I know.
It's not even accurate.
I didn't put that.
Plus, they spelled your name wrong, so I don't know how much
it doesn't matter. The thing is, there's nothing that said I couldn't do it. So I did it. And I didn't put vote for Beverly Kohler. I didn't put Beverly Kohler and whoever. I just put... my name.
Well, at the same time, the photo credit just had her name because she took
the
photograph.
That's because it's in the statutes.
I think we take this up.
Statute number 19, blah, 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 whatever it was, in New Jersey statutes, government publications, political contributions. See, the thing is with the political contributions, technically, and I don't know who would be the one to do it here, Greg or what, would have to assess. Had Sharon put her name on that article,
then it'd be trouble.
No, you could do it. It's legal. You can't. Let me tell you.
A photograph.
Excuse me one second. If your name is in there, or if you write an article, or it's a lot about writing an article, if you have your name in there, this township has to determine what the in-kind value is. So you're basically going to give her a payment on taxpayer dollars of awareness, is what they're saying. So somebody in this department is responsible for letting her know what to put in your ELEC reports. So, you know what? But it doesn't say signs in parks.
Okay. So I'm just sensing no appetite to discuss policy on that, so we will move on, unless there's anyone else who wants. Okay. New business. First item of new business is American Tower consent letter request, which was put on the agenda when they sent please consent to maintenance. When I asked them to follow up exactly what we're talking about, it turns out they want to expand the footprint of the equipment fencing area behind the building. There'll be no action on this tonight. Turns out that we've checked the planning board resolution from 2010 restricts it to 1,600 square feet, so they'll have to get planning board approval to expand outside of that. They will negotiate additional revenue if we give them permission, but I wanted to let everybody know it's coming up, and it would be, we talked about this a year or two ago, it would be where the Boy Scout trailer is currently parked now that they would expand over there. We'll need to make sure Warren Gabriel is comfortable that it doesn't impact any other operations. But that is a discussion that has started out with American Tower.
And that was a good point that you found in there about the expansion.
Yeah. Any other discussion?
Is there a set agreement on square footage, or how did that income that would be derived from this?
That's going to be a complete negotiation from what I can tell. We have to look at their lease versus other lease and try to figure out what's fair. I have no idea right now what the fair compensation would be.
What's the compensation now?
It's merged in between the tower and the ground space. I don't have those. I don't have the numbers right now.
Well, it's got to be some sort of formula that would be based upon the square footage that they're going to use. So obviously it would be an increase in whatever the rent is.
It'll be an increase, obviously, but we don't have any numbers. If we move on, and actually Mark is liaison to the police, but I'll read it out for him. The police are requesting to replace the old bulletproof vests with upgraded versions for officer safety and a new body armor for new hires. So this is the purchase of 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6. I'm sorry. Well, they have two quotes for. Is it for 9 or is it for 6?
Are they two separate vests?
Pardon me?
Are they two separate vests? One vest is 3,000, one vest is 3,800?
That's what I'm seeing. And one vest is an upgraded version, right. And the other is for the new hires. Total amount for the, I guess it is 9 vests, $6,910.52. Some of this is paid for by a grant, and I don't have that breakout here. I believe about two-thirds, if I recall, two-thirds is paid for by a grant.
How much?
I think two-thirds by a body armor grant that they have, but I don't have the exact number. I guess the question is, do we need more information, or it's a state contract vendors, I believe. State contract vendor.
Yes.
They're both state funded. Yep.
Seems pretty clear. It says replace old with upgraded version for officer safety, and names the two officers.
Yep.
Replace what they have, and then new body armor for the hires that are still in the academy.
Yep. And it's not. It's 10 items, but there's a vest and then another accessory with the vest. So it's it is the 5 items. 5 total vests. Total $6,910.52.
I would make a motion. If there's any other discussion, I'd make a motion that we allow this purchase request.
Second.
the way, I've learned over the years, police vests actually have a lifetime. They have sort of a best, you know, a sell-by date inverse. The Kevlar fabric and things breaks down over time, so they don't last forever. They need to be replaced from time to time. I think that's part of the replacement issue here. So there is a motion. If there's no second.
You were asking for a motion?
Mr. Wilson made a motion. We're looking for a second, or if there's no second. Any further discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. And last, LOSAP Administrator. LOSAP is the Length of Service Award Program for our Volunteer Fire Department. Tom?
Well, I think they need a sign in now that we have a gap in our steps here. And I think that I would recommend that the a liaison to the fire department could handle that. It's basically initiating the LOSAP program. I don't know how much checks and balances are done. It's a new individual coming into it and setting them up with Lincoln Financial and those that want to move money out of Lincoln Financial. So I think between the chief working with the fire department, it's something that I think may be housed with the liaison to the fire department.
I agree.
And then that can be reviewed each year depending on who that is as we perpetuate this forward until we see where this all plays out.
Thoughts. I completely agree. Okay. And you're the liaison to the fire department, so...
For the last part of this year, sure.
Yeah.
And if you don't mind,
I think it's the right call.
Be able to handle that.
I think it's the right call.
That's fine with me.
Is there a motion to make Tom McKee, what's the official title, the signator for LOSAP?
I would make that motion.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. That is the end of new business on the agenda. If there is no other new business, we move to presentation of vouchers.
I have a couple here that qualify. First one is for the Lebanon Township Board of Ed for school taxes for October of 2022, $1,110,860.50. The other one I have here is for Gephardt and Kiefer. This is for services rendered on two items, $2,227.50. And I also have Gephardt and Kiefer, which doesn't have to be announced, which is $792. It's under the $1,000 threshold. So, I'm finished.
That's it. For Mark Law, I've got Griffith Allied Trucking Gasoline for the police department, total of $2,021.65. And release of escrow for planning board attorney John Galena in the amount of $1,537.50. Then for myself, for my normal file, I've got the JCP&L master account for August, $1,547.94. My corporate, oops, that's below the limit. Vital Communications, printing the tax bills, $1,716.48.
I've got Warren Asphalt for asphalt, $1,439.61. Griffith Allied Trucking LLC for diesel, $4,131.71. That's it.
I have one, but it was just handed to me because it ended up in Mark's folder by mistake, and so I need to check with the police chief on one thing here involving the Zoom account before I. So I'm going to hold this voucher aside.
Can you tell me the amount?
Yes, it's $2,075.
2075 even.
Mm-hmm. Intrep Solutions.
So the total voucher list is $1,138,192.90 less the withheld $2,075. Is there a motion to approve the amended voucher list?
I'll make a motion to approve the amended voucher list.
Second.
Any discussion? Roll call?
Yes.
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 We have no correspondence. We would now open to public comment on any topic a member of the public would like to address. Is there a motion to open to public comment?
I'll make a motion to open to public comment.
I'll second that motion.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. This time, any member of the public would like to come forward? Yep. Yeah, please try to speak into the microphone for the recording. If you could just pull the microphone over for the recording, it's necessary.
Okay, Mike, one of the things is your public comment. Your first one was agenda items only. The bulk of this meeting was taken up by year-end priorities, where you listed two or three resolutions. Nobody had any idea what those resolutions were or what you were going to talk about, so there was nothing they could comment on. So I think that's a little unfair to the public, because that gives them their opportunity to tell you what their thoughts are, what they like, what they don't like about certain things.
I would just note there was no action taken. It was meant to be one of the times we could discuss what we wanted to do. So
the other thing was, I attended the Fall Fest, if that's what they called it, run by the park committee and stuff. You know, when they put people's names or they recognize people, donors, people that donate money to the organization, yeah, it's to encourage others to donate and to help the program along. It was a really nice affair. The township residents seemed to have a nice time. And I understood Bev donated $1,000 to that a function. I think it was a little underhanded to bring it up that three people came to you and said they didn't like to see her name up on the banner. There was an awful lot of other names on banners that nobody seemed to bring up. And she never asked for votes. She never spoke politics at all. In fact, she worked with my grandson the entire time I was there behind the table taking orders and money for food. So aside from donating, she worked it. And that's what we want in the township. So I would tell your three friends to just mind their own business or write a check.
Okay. You know, could I just interrupt one moment? I just want to address that a little bit, because last meeting we called out a volunteer, a person who's volunteered for a number of years, who wrote a newsletter article, and we got concerned that there was a photo caption that mentioned her name. Did not say vote for me, did not say candidate, did not identify the person related to the township. And we had a fairly long discussion, and we called that person. We didn't call that person out, but we said, we need a policy. We need to understand if any name is in the newsletter. And 3 days later, there's a, whatever it is, 6x2 foot banner hanging on township property at an event that, you know, you said township park committee. We understand technically it's not the Township Park Committee. It's uncertain what that was all about. I wanted to raise a question, a policy question, to say, do we allow advertising of political candidates? Okay, it didn't say vote for me. I don't know if it's required or not. I don't want to go into the legal side of it. My only point was, we can have a discussion. And I wanted to have a discussion, and it turned into, oh, no, you're a bad guy. Mike, stop. You're underhanded. And that's just...
It's the way you portray it.
Yeah.
It's
calm and nice in the one discussion, and you're attacking in the other discussion.
Right.
You two gang up on the one discussion, and the other one you don't.
Okay.
It's very clear.
So,
black and white. We all see it.
Yeah. Who's the two?
So, I'm sorry.
It's clear.
We'll
who's
now
the
let
two.
We'll now go back to the public comment.
Oh, I do?
Yeah, you just did. We just witnessed it. All of us.
There's a person who had a photo credit. In the newsletter. What's wrong with a photo credit in the newsletter? It didn't say vote for her. What's wrong with that?
The statute says.
I think you're a little close to that.
Okay, we're gonna hold off public comment. You're welcome to make public comment, but we'll do it one at a time from the desk. Yeah. So.
Yeah, good evening, Bob Mickle, 676 Wood Glen Road. I have a question. It may be a policy of this board and all the township boards or committees. Do you have a policy on the time before the meeting that you will notify the public that it's canceled?
You're referring to the USC meeting that was canceled on short notice?
Short notice. We were here in the rain, and it wasn't it finally 7:05 we get notified. Now, I don't think, other than the committees themselves, I would think, and is an hour? I mean, you know whether you're going to have the meeting or not.
Yeah.
And certainly to notify the public so we don't come here and stand in the rain for 15, 20 minutes and then find out the meeting's canceled.
Yeah,
so if you don't have a policy, I would really hope that you would look at it. And to be fair to you, but also out of courtesy and respect to the residents, that we can go on the website and find out the meeting has been canceled.
And that is an issue with our website. I mean, we were informed Friday, I believe, that it was canceled. I don't know when it got up on the website, if it ever did get up on the website. But is what I...
They didn't follow
okay,
the policy.
That I didn't.
We have a resolution.
We have a resolution?
48 hours, unless it's an emergency.
Right.
Business days, because we need to get it up on the website. That was not followed. It was almost 8 o'clock on Friday night when Karen was notified, we don't have any agenda items. That's not an emergency.
Your point is taken. We do our best to
know
so the public.
You'll
obviously,
look at
we
that
did.
And let us know.
So we obviously need to look at that.
All right, thank you.
I mean, we have a policy. It just obviously didn't get followed, and we need to.
I would hope everybody, all the committees, look at it and are made aware, and they follow it.
Yep.
And
thank
it's
you.
A recent policy
we will read,
too.
Yep.
It's not like it's old.
No.
I got wet.
What?
Hi, Nicole Gallo, 7 Country Woods Drive. I really came here in support, actually, of Karen, Tom, and Bev. Because of the mailer that went out to this town, I'm embarrassed. I'm embarrassed by it. If anything, Guy, Sharon, whoever decided to send it, it didn't help. It did not help your campaign. It actually hurt it. We are a small community. We don't have to agree. We don't. We really don't. We're very divided in many situations. But to sit here and send something like that, those are alleged allegations. There's a lawsuit. The plaintiff obviously is upset, and they have a right to feel that way. But until this is decided, for that to be sent out, that was terrible. And if I'm not recalling, there's been a couple of meetings here that both of you have said something about a lawsuit. And at first I thought you meant the BA, which we should be talking about.
Yes.
But that's not what you meant. You literally meant this lawsuit that was against the three of them. I really applaud the three of them for being utmost respectful, full of integrity, working very hard. I'm sure Karen with the Oprah requests, with everything else going on with NAR, and the business, I can't even imagine what that office must be like. I mean, I worked in the Board of Education before, so I understand what Oprah requests are. I understand what, you know, the situation is. But, you know, it takes a lot of nerve. I mean, honestly, Mike, you know, you sold out the town. Mm-hmm. You allowed an attorney to send a letter to NAR, giving them a green light to come here and apply for an application without being board approved. Guy, a woman was here complaining about speed limits on your street, and you totally dismissed her. That was not okay. So in reality, your own actions speak for themselves. The voters know. We see it. Okay? It's not okay. It was not okay. I just want to say I think this town should straighten themselves out. This campaign stuff that you guys are doing, it's not okay. We're not the federal government. We're a small community. We should agree to disagree respectfully. That slander, that was terrible. That was terrible. I'm telling you. I'm going through it myself. Okay? It's not okay. It's just not. Okay? We can agree to disagree. We need to be respectful. We need to be polite. But this did not hold good water for you guys. This is going to hurt you. I guarantee you see it at the polls.
My response to that is I know nothing about it. You know where I found that card? In the dumpster for the recyclables. I said, what is that card doing there? What is this? So I went on and saw it. I didn't sponsor it. I didn't ask for it. I have no idea where it came from.
Guy,
and I agree with you. I agree with you. It doesn't help the situation.
I'm not going to call you a liar. I don't know for whether you're telling the truth or not.
Well,
the bottom
I am
line,
telling the truth. I have nothing to do with that. I had no idea this was going out. I don't even know who did it. And I'm offended by it.
You should be. You should buy.
I'm offended by your inclination to say that I had something to do with it, or somebody
else.
It has
you guys written all over it. It leads right back to you guys.
Oh, it does.
It does.
Do you work for the prosecutor's office now?
I don't work for the prosecutor's office.
Show me the proof.
In reality,
that's what we deal with.
It shows
proof.
Straight out to Lebanon Township 411 about a lawsuit here against three people that
you're assuming that I had
Mike
something to do
Bolt
with it, or
specifically
that
mentioned lawsuits at a couple of the meetings. Now you're saying publicly that you had no idea
nothing
about
to
it.
Do
so
with
then
that.
You should have your conscience clear. You should have your conscience clear.
It is
okay. And if the town believes you, then that's great.
Fine.
Okay.
And if they don't, that's fine, too.
Okay. But then you guys should get to the bottom of what this ugly campaigning is about. And then when you brought up, Mike, about a banner about Bev, I mean, I understand that you might think that we need a policy for that, and that's something that'd be discussed. But in reality, the way you portrayed it, it looked like it was an attack on Bev again. And you may not see it that way, but we do. You have to, you have to open your mind, okay? I understand there's a campaign. I'm in a campaign. It's not fun. It's not. I get it, okay? I do get it. But you got it. It almost seems like you have an agenda when you walk in here against them. It's not okay. So I just hope that you guys can start, let's be men and women. Let's show the youth that we could be men and women of integrity and honesty. Not like this.
First of all, I don't know if anyone, is that good? Can anyone hear me? First of all, my name is Robbie Lynn Morangi. For those that don't know me, I'm the newsletter editor and the associate curator of the museum. And first, I want to say that the deadline for submitting articles to the winter newsletter is November 1st. And a reminder email will go out on Friday for contributors so that they'll have the information. Secondly, I want to say that I sent a letter to the committee last week, and apparently the township couldn't figure out how to protect my rights and have the letter read into the public record. So I figured out that the only way to get it read into the public record was to come and read it myself.
I want to address that before you do, because I was involved in that, as you may know. You have rights, and some of the information you relayed involved your employment here. And by rights, I mean you have a right for that discussion to occur in private executive session. You submitted a letter in writing and asked for it to be read into the record. The reading of it into the record would likely, I anticipate, I can't be certain, but would likely begin a conversation, again, where you have privacy rights. Mm-hmm. So you and I did not speak directly But that is the point I was addressing, that once those facts are put in a record in public, your right to notice, what we call Rice notice, and an appropriate amount of time to consider it. You have ordinarily it's at least 48 hours to consider your rights of privacy and weigh them and have you make the decision as to whether the discussion involving the terms of your employment and any issues related to that is to be held right here in a room with everybody participating, or it's to be held in the executive session. So when you say we couldn't figure it out, we could figure it out. It's an unusual situation where it's separated from the discussion, meaning there's a written letter and not a person coming physically forward. Now you are here. I'm advising you now you have those rights of privacy, and you don't have to make that decision tonight, because we do have not only the right or the obligation to advise you of it, but to also give you appropriate time to consider it. So there's a part of all of that that involved me making an assumption, and if I'm wrong in that assumption, I apologize, but the assumption I made was to be conservative in an effort to protect your privacy. So that's why we're in this standing right now.
Thank you for clarifying. I appreciate that. And I don't want to waive any of my rights at this time. I'm not addressing my performance or employment.
Well, okay. But if you're going to talk about the facts of your employment and you're not going to waive it, I can only interpret that as a request to discuss it in closed session. So, you know.
The point of coming here is that it wasn't discussed in closed session.
I understand the content of what you submitted. If you make those statements that are similar to what you submitted in writing, it is the beginning of that conversation. I don't know.
So my employment is in jeopardy if I...
No, I didn't say that. No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. I'm not saying that at all. I'm not referencing that. It's not limited to your protections. Your right of privacy doesn't only apply in situations of potential discipline or more significant. Again, we have closed session with employees or can't obviously disclose them, but there's a wide variety of things that involve your employment that you have a right to privacy in. So I'm not trying. Again, we're in a balancing of these two situations, which is your desire to make public statement and your right to privacy.
Okay.
And both of those rights are yours.
Okay.
And I can't force you, or we're not going to ask you to waive it. It is your right, and that's why there was a response that indicated that.
Okay.
And if it wasn't clear, I apologize. But again, there are competing factors, and it is a complicated combination that we're facing right now. So as you're going to proceed, if it's going to be in the same vein of what you submitted in writing, there are portions of that which clearly speak to your role as an employee. And if you're going to begin that conversation in public, it's likely to continue in public, is what I'm saying. And you, again, don't have to submit to that in public. But I don't know how we're going. It's most likely going to have to be treated that you're waiving that right if you have the first half of that conversation in public. So it's your decision to make.
Okay. Thank you for clarifying that.
I gave an answer, Bev.
No, I just gave an answer. She fully understands what.
I don't know how much more detail I could have gone into. Do you understand what I'm representing to you and the options that you have?
I believe I do.
Okay. And again, the committee here is not asking you to waive your right to be held in executive session, or B, to have time to consider that option. Nobody is saying that, okay? And you don't have to submit to that.
But if I read this, I do.
Again, if you're reading exactly what you submitted, I can say to you clearly that is the beginning of the discussion. If it's edited, or if you're simply speaking to other things, then maybe not. But all I can answer is if it's a verbatim recitation of what you submitted, that will be a discussion of your employment. I am not inferring in any way that it has to do with discipline, and I'm not telling you you don't have a right to speak here tonight.
Okay. All right,
and
I understand.
When it comes, I'm sorry. When it comes to our responses, she hasn't been riced, so she's waiving her right to be riced.
Again, if you begin the conversation, it's going to elicit, I anticipate it's going to elicit response from the governing body. If you make the statements in public, it is going to likely lead to responses in public.
Okay.
And that you have a right to be riced in, but this is an inversion. Normally, the governing body lists separate employees to be brought in for a discussion. Does not have to be disciplined. And at that point, the governing body directs that the rice notice is issued. This is inverted in that you're asking for the discussion to occur. So that's why there's not really a policy or a template for how we do that. It's upside down, so to speak.
Okay. Thank
you. So I clearly understand. If I wish to make a comment on what's being spoken here tonight, I have not infringed the rice.
If the comments made, if she makes comments about the terms of her employment, I am not there. There's not an. She will. There. She needs to expect that there will be a response. And
we will, within our legal rights, then.
If she's going to make statements about that, yes. Okay. I would say that it. There's also a possibility we get into an area that's not discussed, or where there's a decision to stop that portion of the discussion. But yes, you can't. It is a fine line. I can't. I'm absolutely. I don't disagree. This is an open public meeting. We're in a public comment section. She has a right to speak, and she also has an employee has privacy rights. So.
And tell us where, when you're in a situation like we've never had before, where there's an employee who's also an independent contractor, how does that come into play?
Again, it comes into play when a discussion involves the terms of her employment. And if it, again, the comments that I reviewed last week and the clerk, and I responded to the clerk on, will, if they're identical, they will discuss the terms of her employment. They do reference the terms of her employment or the conditions of her employment.
As an independent contractor.
No, as an employee. As both, quite frankly, as both. But yes, the issue of privacy emanates from her role as an employee.
I am going to read the letter. And I think the fact that you're working so hard to figure out how far you can push things and not violate my rights means I really do have to read the letter. September 29th, 2022, Dear Mayor Schmidt and committee members, I am writing to respectfully insist that Ms. Kohler cease and desist from any further public disparagement of my professional services, work product, and integrity. This request is based on two separate incidents of harassment, intimidation, and bullying directed at me by Ms. Kohler during public township committee meetings. The most recent event and the trigger for this letter occurred at the last township committee meeting on Wednesday, September 21st, 2022. Ms. Kohler snidely stated that the newsletter editor needs to get a spell checker, implying I had not done my job professionally, although not citing any specific error. I am not aware of any misspellings in the September newsletter, and certainly none that deserve public disparagement. The previous occasion that Ms. Kohler engaged in harassment, intimidation, and bullying against me was at the Township Committee meeting on Wednesday, July 20th, 2022. That was the meeting when my newsletter proposal was contentiously debated. The debate was not about me or my ability to fulfill the proposal. It was made clear early in the discussion that producing the newsletter would be separate from my work at the museum. Without provocation and singling me out while not noting other township employees with the same arrangement, Ms. Kohler felt it was necessary to disdainfully declare, I better not walk into that museum and see her working on the newsletter. This calls my character and integrity into question with no foundation. I was shocked when I heard the recording of that meeting. When I submitted my proposal, I never expected to be publicly slandered by a sitting committee person. to make it worse, the Hunterdon Review subsequently ran a story about the meeting, including Ms. Kohler's attack on my work ethic. I was sick over the public smear of my professional reputation and the museum by association. These attacks are categorically false, and totally inappropriate, and harmful to my professional advancement and livelihood. I recognize that Ms. Kohler was stridently opposed to hiring a newsletter editor, but that does not give her the right to personally attack me. I have witnessed Ms. Kohler's retaliation against an employee earlier this year when she led an unjust termination of that employee, as detailed in the lawsuit currently being litigated, that personally names Ms. Kohler and others. I have also witnessed her weaponizing Oprah, resulting in the resignation of numerous volunteers, as well as the harassment of past newsletter contributors alleging personal gain. I intend for this letter to serve as notice to the township that any acts of retaliation, further intimidation, or even harmful omission against me, the newsletter, the museum, and anyone associated will be responded to decisively by any legal recourse available to me. My goal is to continue to do the best I can to produce a quality newsletter for the township without fear of harassment or insult. Sincerely, Robbie Lynn Wong. Now, I know it seems like these incidents are insignificant, but they really aren't for me, because my personal observation is that this is a consistent pattern of behavior towards volunteers and employees, and it includes passive-aggressive retaliation. Besides the three people I mentioned in my letter, there are many others I'm aware of who have experienced this treatment too. Who knows how many people have never talked about it and just stopped participating in the community? These small incidents signal to me that you, Beverly Kohler, have identified the newsletter and me as the next thing you can get away with attacking. I am a human being, not a pawn in your game. I deserve common decency and respect. Instead, I do my work under a cloud of anxiety and fear of retaliation. So I can threaten to take some kind of legal action, or I can try to embarrass you on social media, or I could just quit the newsletter and hope you leave me alone. The thing is, this behavior pattern of yours is poisoning our community, because everyone you hurt feels the way I do, and they have friends and family who are hurt and worried too. Distrust and anxiety will continue to grow. A lot of people who are longstanding involved members of this community will start to walk away because participating isn't rewarding anymore. I had no choice but to address this publicly because it's a pattern. I needed my message to be on the public record to protect me from retaliation. You must stop insulting me and my work publicly. You must stop bullying anyone, not because you might face consequences, because it's the right thing to do. This is not about my performance. This is about yours. To be very clear, at whatever amount of I can, I do reserve my right to have my performance or any evaluation of my performance discussed privately and not in public. Absolutely, I do not want to waive that right. But I also was also discussed, my performance was discussed publicly without any checking with me on that in a throw-off comment, because I don't matter to you, Bev. And that's the bottom line, I'm nobody. And you figured, oh, well, I can score some points in front of the people who support me, and who cares if it hurts Robbie Lynn? And that's the bottom line. Thank you. That's all I have to say.
Wow. I'm sorry. I think we should respect Ms. Gallo's suggestion that we treat everyone with respect, and that the heckling is what really drives this incivility that's really become a pattern in this township lately.
And the side comments, too. I'm sitting here watching people mouthing things. It's ridiculous. Let people speak.
I didn't listen to
stuff that was alleged to
me.
We can't do anything out
here. You're welcome to step one at a time and make the comment.
My name is Victoria Cervelli, and I'm from Red Mill Road. But when you have a comment to say to each other, you do it without any care if we can hear it or not. Is that okay? Your little remarks, your little sarcasm, you do it all the time. Yes. Oh, don't act surprised. You do it all the time.
Good draw.
And we have to sit here and we politely listen to it. I don't have to hear it be reprimanded by you. You work for me. I am the township resident. You are there because we put you there, and we'll take you out when we have to.
Anyone else? Anyone else coming forward?
Can I speak over here?
You can use his microphone.
You want to sit or you want to stand?
Dan Addix, 112 Mountaintop Road. I'm a farmer. You spoke earlier about a noise ordinance. I want to know if you're going to allow noises from naturally produced on a farm. So, like, if I sprayed at night, the air blast sprayer, well, every neighbor knew I was using it. Even in the daytime, they could hear it. In fact, the other day, a couple times, I heard the train go through the town of Washington, blowing their horns. It's noise. Years ago, Hankels used to have a farm right near me there on Anthony Road with pigs. He was raising barley along with his corn. He put these LP cannons out to try to get the deer off. Of course, when that failed, 12-gauge shotgun in the middle of the night did a pretty good job, too. Mm-hmm. And that's one of my practices. Mm-hmm. Also, for bird control, I tried these electronic speakers to scare the birds off. In fact, I was a dealer for them at one time. They didn't work. They worked a little bit. The birds got used to it. I had one that's supposed to work on deer too. I put a big one out in the middle of the field. My one neighbor, his wife didn't like it. Middle of the night, it disappeared. $700 piece of equipment. You know, but these things that farmers, if you do Hankels, when they was farming the pigs here, they combined their corn it and then dried it. A dryer running all night, you can hear it all over that mountain. Or if they're now with the other farmers, when they're combining late till 11, 12 o'clock at night, you can hear that machine running. That's noise. Mm-hmm. Are you going to ban that too?
When this came up earlier, as Mr. McKee and all of us, we plan to put in provisions. We will put in provisions to protect farmers. Every deed in this township indicates that everyone knows that farmers have a right to the noise that they need to make, smells. We protect our farmers in the township.
I'll just mention, too, when we use the cannons, because I use Barred Hankel's cannons to try to keep the birds out, we have to get permits from the Fish and Game for it. The cannons or for noisemakers, for shooting a deer at night, we got to get permits. You know
that we can't overtake state statute.
Right.
But
so I mean, it's just one of the things that if you make an ordinance about it, you want to make provisions that there's no conflicts.
Yep.
Okay. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mayor, if I could make a point of order about what he just talked about. It's only the newer deeds that contain the right to farm language for subdivisions that might have been done in the last 35, 40 years. Okay. The older deeds wouldn't have that, but he's certainly protected under the law on the right to farm.
Thank you. 35, 40 years to me seems like a lot of deeds.
Well, that's when all the subdivisions started. That's where half the people in the audience, they bought houses from those subdivisions.
Any other member of the public, please come forward, speak into the microphone.
Can I make a suggestion regarding the resolution if you guys do the noise ordinance?
Maybe. I could maybe come back up when she's done.
Is there an update on the town administrator that's currently on administrative leave? That's question number one. And question number two is, who did the background investigation on her before she started her tenure at Lebanon Township?
With regard to the current situation and the pending investigation, I can report that The investigator has concluded the interview portion of the investigation. He advises he will need some follow-up documentation, which I will coordinate with the clerk to make sure he has ASAP. And the step after that would be our receipt of a final report.
Who did the background investigation? You know, there is a history of this person suing other municipalities. How did we not know about that?
We need to find the line where we're not discussing her as an individual, but each of us were provided with her resume. Each of us did our own investigation. I don't believe there's anything that we weren't aware of at the time of meeting with her and discussing with her.
Ursula Dobson, 8 Simons Lane. Thank you.
Any other public comment? Did you want to address?
I was just going to suggest.
Nicole Gallo, 7 Country Woods Drive. I was just going to suggest that when we did the resolution regarding the marijuana at the middle school the other day, it was a good interaction between you guys and the community. Maybe, I don't understand farming, but maybe that when a resolution is created, maybe to pull some of the local farmers in, the newer ones and the older ones, to be able to help make the wording correct that all of them are protected. If farming is so important and it's so protected in our town. That was going to be my other comment.
Thank you. Any other member of the public? Yes.
Russ Snyder, 456 West Hill Road.
Make sure you're in the microphone for the recording.
Russ Snyder, 456 West Hill Road. I just want to disagree with the whole noise ordinance thing. I think it's a super slippery slope with a lot of issues. I mean, you're saying farming. I understand that, of course. There's also, like, discharge of firearms. I mean, that's a whole different law. You know, you're allowed to. If you have a neighbor that doesn't like shooting or hunting, you're doing that at your house in the evening, or are you going to get a noise complaint or a disorderly person's? Because it's completely illegal to target shoot. There's different laws for target shooting and regular hunting with distances and, you know, safe backgrounds. So that's, you know, one thing I'd like to say. You're also allowed to hunt at night in this state with certain species. So I just don't know where it goes. You know, I like to coyote hunt, and I use an electronic call in the middle of the night. You know, if my neighbor doesn't like that, am I going to get a noise ordinance ticket? I mean, you just said you cover the farmers. What about the people that hunt or use firearms? You know, do you have any answer for that?
Only that we will endeavor to be fair, as fair as possible, and get the input from all parties.
And then 2 weeks ago I was here, I was asking you guys about some of the marijuana paraphernalia at the store. I was wondering if you went down there and checked it out.
I didn't go down there to check it out, but I did look into the legal issues behind it, and stating the fact that it's a legal product. It can't be on a shelf where someone can pick it up, but there's no legal requirement to have it out of sight. It's got to be behind the counter. You have to ask an attendant, can I please have that? But yeah. It's a legal
I mean,
product.
I told you that it was right on the ground with I could grab it. I opened the slid the door. I just want.
But you had to slide the door.
Unlocked. The door that wasn't behind the counter.
But it's.
You know, it would be no different if you went to the top shelf.
I'm.
You know what I mean?
Yep. I understand what you're saying. But
I'd just like to see you guys look into that a little bit more. I mean, there's so much product right now in these places that I don't think we know what is legal, what's not legal in those stores. Like I told you, I mean, I asked the cashier. You know, do any of these? He goes, oh, the ones on the bottom shelf, they'll get you high. Like, Mm-hmm. I mean, he straight up said that to me. So I'd just like to see you guys look into that a little bit more. You know, hopefully the next time I come here, you could tell me that you went in that store or not. I mean, we only have a few stores in the yep. town. It'd be like the Woodland store selling bongs, you know, next to the
like I said,
Andy.
That's what it's
like down there.
I brought it to the attention of our enforcement people to try to figure out, number one, where it gets enforced, what the law is, but we'll follow up. And
okay. And there, we were talking about, like, respect with people and, you know, comments. And, you know, when somebody comes up here and states their name, you know, we do that for the record, right? It's not for when we leave here that somebody could, like, grab you and accuse you of something, right?
I assume not. Shouldn't be. No.
Right. So 2 weeks ago, right after I spoke, I got up and I went to the side. It was in the old music facility. And a woman came up to me, you know, pretty quickly, asked me my name and wanted to talk to me. I thought it was about something that I discussed. I went outside and I got bombarded accusations of me trespassing on their property, putting tree stands, corn out, and this person was adamant that it was me, you know. And I argued, and I said, listen, it's not me, I wouldn't do that. They asked me, you know, it just, like, I couldn't walk away from the situation, and I felt like it was because this person didn't know who I was beforehand. I feel like it was only, they only knew me from when I stated my name and I left. And, you know, I came to find out later that that was your wife or your partner. And, you know, I just was really...
Disappeared.
Yeah. I don't believe in the chatter either. I just... Hmm. That really... The kind of it really bothered me to be accused of those things, especially because the person must have known who my name and stuff, which you must have known my name, and then I go to speak here, and maybe you don't take what I say serious because you think I'm trespassing on your land or something like that. And, you know, I just wonder if you had anything to say about that, and... Don't tell me you didn't know.
I wasn't aware of that conversation.
You didn't know.
I mean, I was in the meeting.
No. I know, but afterwards you weren't aware of that? Because I asked her if she could handle it with you, and she said yes, she was going to handle it.
I was told it was a conversation and that it was worked out, and it was a misunderstanding of who the person was. But
it wasn't really a misunderstanding because,
your side of the
you know, I don't know how many people that you told or... She told prior to that conversation, you know, where my name got tarnished because, you know, you tell your three buddies and they tell Rusty Snyder's hunting on my property.
I mean, I can tell you it never came up in conversation with anyone from me. And that's all I can tell.
Well, Sharon lives with you, right?
I know, and I'm not going to ask her now.
I mean, like, because, like, right now she's been standing there the whole night with her phone right on the edge. It's like I don't even want to go walk by her right now. I just, you know, it took me literally, you know, at first I was like, maybe it's my dad, you know, but my dad's 76 years old. He's not, and he doesn't do that kind of stuff. And, you know, I pride myself in not going on anybody's property without asking. I mean, I hunt at a bunch of different local places, and I'll call the person every single time before I go, even if I have permission. So, but it took me literally like a half an hour afterwards to call the people that your wife said that they got my name, and it turned out to be a different person named Rusty. So I really didn't appreciate that. You know, I got attacked right after with her and like three other ladies. So, you know, if you could maybe control her from doing that again, I'd be happy with it. Yeah, honestly, you know, I don't need that. Yeah. Just, so are we good with that?
I hear you.
Yeah. Okay. All right, thank you.
Thank you. Anyone else coming forward for public comment? Yes.
Sue Donovan, 9 Pulaski Road, Glengarner, New Jersey. I'm on the historical meeting, and the township called for everybody, all volunteers and everybody, to take this course that we had to be here for an hour and something about harassment and bullying and all that stuff. And then a week after that, we had that big thing happen in our own township. This is what we have to get straightened out. We have you provide the state person to tell us not to do stuff, not to, you know, and then you turn around and you all do it. And that is not just this committee. It's the people that work for our township, and all that, when the police had to come up and all that stuff. And it's not just, it's some people in Tewksbury Township too, that works with Lebanon Township, who is also bullied because you're a woman. And I just think you got to straighten this out among everybody. You got to send letters to all to your employees about this. There shouldn't be any bullying or prejudice or anything. My mom taught me how you treat others is how you want to be treated, and that's what I live by. And I think that's what we got to straighten out the township. I love our township, but we got to not be bickering on little things like D.C. does, you know? And that's what I'm trying to say.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Any other member of the public coming forward? Seeing no one coming forward.
Sorry, this is totally unrelated.
Nicole Gallo again, sorry. The Lebanon Township Facebook page, I know that you guys don't control that, but we have a Save the Lebanon Township page just for information. We don't really allow comments on there, so we don't get the bickering and the yelling and the arguing and as much information. We put information out on there, and then we post it to other local Facebook pages. Our goal is really to get people to the meetings, right? So everybody can hear both sides of the story, hear testimonies, or I mean, from the planning board, whatever the scenario was. But publicly, the administrators at the Lebanon Township Facebook page have pretty much told us that we are censoring because we won't allow public comments. My comment back to them was that that's why we put it on the town pages, so then if conversation can happen. I just wanted to let the public know that the admin is censoring the Lebanon Township Facebook page.
And just to be clear, those are not official Lebanon Township pages. We don't have, except for the police Facebook page, we don't have any association. And so we have no control over the policies of those Facebook
pages. I just wanted to let the community know.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah. I'm just so there's no misunderstanding that we can't take any action on that.
I knew that. Okay. But I just wanted to let, like, so there's censorship going on there. So if anybody wants to get information, like, the website would be great to have up there. And other, maybe somebody else wants to start a Facebook page where there isn't any censoring, I would really suggest that. Mm. I can't put that in my wheelhouse now too much, but just wanted to let everybody know. Thank you.
I have a question. Can you hear me?
Are we closed for public?
Yeah, I'm part of. I'm going to.
But are we going to?
No, we're not closed for public. Yeah. Do you want to make a question related to public?
Yeah, I just wanted to follow up on what happened with the public.
I can do that.
A one-sided.
I understand. Can we do that as soon as we close or after?
Okay.
I understand. Anticipate where you're going.
So, if there's no other member of the public coming forward.
Because we may go. You and I may go, and then they'll be, if they're waiting to speak, that's the only reason I said it.
Sue Donovan again. No, just one thing. On when you post stuff when we're not, you know, when the meetings are canceled, like the, we were outside waiting 15 minutes and freezing, yes. And they said it was posted, but one of our people said no, they just looked 5 minutes ago, it wasn't. You had said that only if it's an emergency and it wasn't an emergency, I think it should still be posted for us, even if it's not emergency.
Oh, if, yeah, right. No, we had, the policy was if it was not an emergency, they needed to tell the clerk 48 hours, business hours in advance. So
that's new Friday. This she knew Monday when we were all standing out
right,
in the rain.
Right, she was told on Friday at 7:41 p.m. an email came in. So then that leaves Saturday, Sunday. By Monday, it's not the 48, because she couldn't have.
But it wouldn't have been bad to leave a note on the door that said the meeting's canceled tonight.
Wasn't there? There should have at least been a note on the door.
I was not aware until I was home and I received.
On Monday?
Yes.
Oh, I did not. I was under the impression that there was at least a
place in my email account.
Okay.
I didn't even see the email until I received the
okay.
And I searched for it, and then I found it.
Okay, so there were multiple miscommunications.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Your point is taken. We need to, and we should, right. And
even
we should
have
gotten it out.
Hours or 24
we should
hours.
Have had it on the door.
Please put it on the door.
Yes. You know? Obviously, there was an attempt. Well, I'm now understanding. I thought
there
was on the door.
15 to 20 minutes.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep. We had a number of issues there. So now, any other member of the public? Seeing none, is there a motion to close public comment?
I'll make a motion to close public comment.
Is there a
second? I'll second it.
There's no discussion. Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So we're now closed from public comment. Did you want to say something before we address the resolution for executive session?
No, I'll respond to your
I was going to say,
request.
What are the parameters? Because now
okay.
We have an employee situation, independent contractor / employee, who spoke, said her piece, and left.
Okay.
She's not here.
I would say this. There was a lengthy discussion on the record. The options were repeated. It was advised that the employee had, in the role of employee, the independent contractor rights are minimal without disparaging them, of course, but that there was a right to be noticed and also a right to consider that notice over a length of time, and that there was no attempt or request that that be waived. There was also a reference, it was made known that to make statements that were submitted prior that were reviewed would be the beginning of that conversation and would likely draw a response, and that response would occur in public. The employee, therefore, has, in my opinion, waived the right on those limited issues, the issues that were mentioned. She has preserved the right on things outside the scope of that statement, and I would strongly encourage that there not be any comment about any terms of employment or anything associated with it that weren't put forth in the record by the employee earlier tonight. And again, these were covered in the preceding conversation in depth repeatedly. And again, the it was made clear that statements, accusations, phraseology that had been previously submitted would in all likelihood result in a response, and that if the statements were made in public, the response would be made in public. So therefore, I would say if you're going to respond simply to the issues raised, that you're okay. I would, though, one caveat, that other litigation that's referenced, that there is separate defense counsel, it's a pending litigation, I wouldn't go into the facts of that. That would be my advice to anybody who's involved in that litigation or not involved in that litigation. So is that responsive to your question?
Mm-hmm. How about mentioning what you told me on the phone the other day when you got the letter about how this, what this is about?
Well, I'm not quite sure. The thing is that I was advised earlier today or late Friday that this would not be submitted, after we gave notice of the right to notice. Again, and this is a backwards situation where it's not the committee calling an employee in to be discussed, which is a standard proceeding. And again, we're not going to litigate the truth or falsity of the allegations. We're not the tribunal in this regard, but I don't feel that it's appropriate to say if somebody has been publicly referenced in these comments that you can't respond to them. So that's, you know, this has occurred here tonight. I've done the best I can with regard to balancing the rights of someone to speak in public and our obligations as an employer and to explain them, quote-unquote, on the fly.
Right. Well, overall, you know, you and I discussed, I have an oath to the people of this.
Okay.
I have an oath to Lebanon.
I'm sorry. Yes, and that oath involves, quote, doing no harm and limiting the exposure of any claim against the township, even in those situations where you may be, quote unquote, involved in the claim against the township, and it is a frustrating and hand tying situation, just as is other litigation that we've talked about, where there, again, there is outside counsel, and again, that is a difficult balancing act, just as this was a difficult balancing act between two competing interests. But your oath that you've taken to serve the township and the residents is paramount and you know, creates that duty upon you to not, as we've discussed before in other situations where it would be easier or maybe to respond in detail, it serves the purpose often of increasing exposure and potential liability against the township.
You told me I have an oath to protect the fiduciary responsibilities of the budget. There is no other situation in this township where an employee is an independent contractor. I needed to make sure that the extra money that was going for the newsletter was going to be spent after the employee's work hours at the museum. People were looking at me a little strange, so I kind of said, like, for example, I love Robbie Lynn. You can go back to the tape, but I don't want to walk into the museum when she's working on her museum piece of the job and then see her working on the newsletter, because we're giving her a bonus to, you know, we're giving her money to work on the newsletter as an independent contractor. We don't have a situation like that in this township with anybody else. So that is the reason I had to ask questions. I have an oath to ask those questions. The other thing is, she said that I disparaged her by saying that she needs to get a spell checker. Listen to the tape. What it said on the tape was that while we're at it and Karen's reviewing the newsletter, we should probably get a spell check app. I never said Robbie Lynn needed a spell checker. And you can listen to the tape. It's all there. I listened again because I thought maybe I said it the wrong way, and so I listened to it again. Let me see, what else was this? Hang on a second. Oh, you know, she mentioned that she didn't, and again, this is fair game. You said it's fair game. She mentioned that she didn't see any mistakes. There were no mistakes. There was a mistake. There were three S's in the Environmental Commission in the centerfold. She's saying things about me, and so I have to be able to retaliate against this because.
Well, I would caution. Let's not use that word. Respond is. Go ahead and respond.
The horse has left the barn. You're telling me this. This is the trouble we get into. I told you. You told me the other day we had a long.
We did have a long conversation, but
it's
and
silly
I.
Silly season. It's grandstanding. I'm not saying that Robbie Lynn's feelings are invalidated. I can't help how she feels. For her to say I don't care about her, that's her feelings. That's a very hurtful statement to make about me.
I'm doing my best here to fulfill the same duty, which is to deal with these situations in the best effort to protect the township. Mm-hmm. The township. And again, there are competing concerns when she came in and proposed this statement tonight. There are rights and obligations in both directions, and I am advising as these facts continue to develop as in the best interest of the township, and that's what I'm doing.
Well, then I suggest that I'm going to talk to you. I'm going to prepare a response because there was a reporter sitting in this room. This is election season. I have a job to do. I'm not a bully. And I'd like to know if any of you put her... I was going to ask her, did any person in this room put you up to what you're doing? I would ask that question on the record. Did anybody put her up, encourage her to do this, or encourage other people to do things that they're doing in this town? So that you could use it for fodder, for power in a small town, Michael?
No.
So, I don't want to invalidate Robbie's... You know, she talked about how this stuff should be handled in private. She could have come after me in July if she thought that I hurt her feelings about what I said when I'm trying to do my job. But no, she didn't. And when I happened to see her in the lobby a couple of weeks ago, I said, "Hi, Robbie Lynn." And she wouldn't even look at me. And she kind of went, "Hi." So, you know what I mean? How am I a mind reader? Am I Kreskin? People need to, it's two-way street here. People need to come to me as well. And I don't want to sit here and be slandered and have hearsay about all these people in town that I've bullied. You know, where are they? it's just very annoying with all of this going on right now. So,
Are you asking me?
I'm just looking at you. I'm just looking at you.
We always look at each other. We usually smile.
I mean, and then you got the mayor's wife filming every episode so she can put that out on something. I don't know what. I mean, power, Michael. It's that important to you to have all this power. Great.
That sounds like a bully.
Yeah. Goes both ways. He brought this...
One bully does not make the other bully right.
He brought up the fact of the signs in the park. I mean, we didn't even know it was going to be on the agenda. So, you know, I mean... It is.
And I'm just trying to...
I have to respond to what was said up there, so you're going to have to understand that.
This is my statement to you.
Mm-hmm.
I, honest to God, have nothing to do with that thing that was sent out. I'm telling you that as one person... to another.
Oh, I didn't say anything about that.
No, I'm not saying you did, but yeah. There are people in the audience who implied that.
I didn't even look at it. It's not to me. I heard about it, but I refuse to. I'm staying focused. I didn't look at it. So
if we're done with that topic?
I'm going to still call you.
But I mean for tonight.
I agree with you. I agree with you. I have the right to do so. There's no doubt about that.
Had nothing to do with lawsuits. It had everything to do with what was going to happen here that wasn't supposed to happen here. I think it was a little loosey-goosey how you allowed that.
You do? I take great offense at that, Beth. I couldn't have been any more detailed, any more deliberate with what went on. I could not have been.
I mean, that was like a public rights hearing with no response, no questioning, nothing allowed.
I did not say that. I said the exact opposite. I informed the employee. You know what? You wanted to respond? I'll respond. I informed the employee that making those statements that she had previously submitted would absolutely draw a response, would likely draw a response, and that it would occur in public. I absolutely said that.
And we had no right to question her.
Well, I can't prevent her from leaving the meeting, Beth.
Well, you should have told us that, ahead of time.
I was supposed to stop her from leaving? I couldn't do that.
I mean, that to me was a public rights hearing with no opposite side of the hearing.
You have every right to respond right now. Her leaving doesn't preclude your right to respond.
Can't ask her any questions.
Well, then you can rice her for the next meeting. But that could be, you know, and that's what if that's what you choose to do.
Mm-hmm. And then
So we will be going into executive session, resolution 91-2022, to discuss our contract negotiations with our police union. No action is expected after that. So at this time, if there's a motion to accept resolution 91-2022 to go into executive session.
I'll make that motion.
Second.
Roll call?
Yes.
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 Yes. So at this time, we'll ask people to leave, and there will be no further action.